Blog Talk Radio. Good evening. Good evening, everyone. Welcome to Blog Talk on this Monday night. Here in Chicago, it is like a little ice rain here on the west side. We are kind of cold up here. I know last Monday I told you all the weather was real nice. But I thank you all for tuning in with Iron Sharpening Iron through Smile 3 Ministries on this Monday night, which we come to you every Monday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time and 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It depends on where you're at. I am your host for tonight, Minister Sylvia Kaiser, and we have a guest speaker on tonight, which is an awesome woman of God, which will be bringing the word to you. I'm so excited about listening and tonight to see what God has to say to the body of Christ. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see if Dr. Serena Wright is on the line with us yet. Are you there, Dr. Wright?
All right, I'm on the line. I'm a woman of God. I'm on.
Okay, thank you so much. So what I'm going to do is because we was running a little late with the phone lines, I'm going to ask Dr. Wright to just pray for us and just to go right into the Word of God. And then I will ask her at the end, after everything is over, when she prays out, I will give you all some information that we have for a Blog Talk. So, Dr. Wright, are you ready?
I am so ready, woman of God. Thank you so much. Oh, my God, we are so excited about this opportunity as we are. Every time we get the opportunity to come before the people of God, and so we will just begin with prayer. Father God, in Jesus' name, we thank you right now, but we do understand that you are an ever-present help for whatever it is that we may need, that the work has been finished, but you are still the Father. You are still the one that has created the opportunity of salvation and redemption, that we might have complete dominion over sin, that we might adopt the king's agenda and move it through the earth realm, that you alone will be glorified. We thank you that our hearts are, because of our surrender to your will, good ground, and what you will release tonight will go into our ground, our hearts, as an incorruptible seed to bring forth the fruit of right living, peace and joy in the Holy Ghost, for that is the kingdom. We thank you for this ministry and those that govern, operate, and rule, make decisions for this ministry. We appreciate what you have spoken concerning it, that it would continue to grow and increase, be heard by the multitudes, that all over the world they would grow and understand that you are alone God and King. We thank you for it, Father. We thank you for that in all things through your Son, whose name is Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Thank you, woman of God, for this opportunity. We are so willing to thank you, Minister Sylvia, to thank you, Apostle Alexis Celia, Minister Brandon, and those that minister with him. It was so good to see you all come out and celebrate with the woman of God. We had such a wonderful opportunity on Saturday to celebrate our visionary, the leader of the Fountain of Living Waters Church, the apostolic leader of the Fountain of Living Waters Church, Apostle Sandra Thomas, and we had an opportunity to come out and share with her how much we love her, and it was so profoundly piercing the hearts of God's people. She stood up and said, "You all, I came and invited you all out to speak, and I'm listening." My God, we just were so honored that we got the ear of those that have labored for decades before the throne on our behalf and behalf of multiple thousands, that we were able to say something that might bless and increase and encourage her by shedding light on the love in our hearts for the God that dwells within her. And so we were so excited about that. It was amazing how the love of God became tangible in that atmosphere to bless us and to be a blessing to the woman of God. So we got to see some that we may not see on a regular basis, and we got to hug some necks, and that was such a wonderful time, and we just thank God for that. We thank God for this ministry and for this platform. I am never going to miss the opportunity to make us that get to speak across this platform aware that we get the ear of the whole wide world on this Blog Talk ministry. That Smile 3E has created an opportunity for the whole wide world to hear the truth of the gospel, to understand that the kingdom is advancing, and we appreciate and honor and thank God for you for doing that for those that are part of Smile 3E and its ministerial council. We thank God for you, and we thank God for the Fountain of Living Waters Church, for Pastor Troy Thomas, again for our apostolic leader, Apostle Sandra Thomas, and for all of those that have come through, labored, stayed, prayed, given, surrendered, sacrificed on behalf of the vision that was given to the woman of God. We all are very thankful. We have been rewarded with the fruit of the Spirit. We have been rewarded with salvation. We have been rewarded with redemption. And we count it an honor to be a part of such a dynamic, powerful, trailblazing ministerial platform. We thank God for you. We thank God for you. And so, with that being said, that is so important, and with that being said, we want to go right into the Word of God. I have to tell you this. This has been a day. Can I tell you that? Can I tell you that this has been a day? My God in heaven. But let me tell you something, that God is bigger than a day. He said he'll keep it. He'll keep that is committed to him against that day. This has been that day. But you find me triumphant. You find me victorious. I didn't just decide to conquer. I decided to more than conquer. I was laying down earlier today, and some would say that I was under the weather, but when it crossed my mind, I said that couldn't possibly be true, because God said I was the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, so I can't get under the weather. I've got to press through these physical symptoms that are very real, and they're screaming back at my faith and saying that what God said wasn't true. And I did everything I could do. I would put one foot out and then lay back down and said, no, you've got to get up. Hallelujah. Because what would it matter if you just celebrated when you see it? You've got to get up. So I got up, and then I walked around, and I said, I thank you, God, that I feel so much better. I feel like I'm healing whole. I feel like it's already done in my body. I feel what your word said for me to feel. My God. And so I decided to put the word of God where all of these symptoms were, and I decided to put my faith where all of these symptoms were, and to get from up under the weather and get back into my conquering position. And that's where you find me today. I grabbed me something warm to drink, and I obeyed what the Spirit of the Lord said. And the woman of God across the street, she looked at me and said, I bind up all of that. I said, thank you for the agreement. And we kept walking, and we decided to get back into our positions, and that is where you find me today. So if you would go with me as we take our faith to conquer, if you would go with me in your Bible to the fourth chapter of Matthew. The last month when we had this opportunity, we were able to share from the first chapter of Matthew, and we got the opportunity to talk about those of you that are listening and those of us that are sharing, that are sitting right in the middle of our prophetic destiny. We're sitting in the middle of the accomplishing word. This is not just your average, everyday coming forward. I said you're sitting in the middle of something that the prophets spoke hundreds of years ago about you, when you were not even, when your great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandmother it is an accomplishing word. And no matter what you happen to do, don't you dare move from the center of God's will concerning your prophetic destiny. Don't you move, don't back up, because this is the year that you're going to give birth to something that the earth has never seen. That's why we were telling you and sharing with you, as the Lord had laid it upon our heart, that Mary, that the birth of Jesus was surrounded by circumstances that needed explaining, because it had gotten kind of complicated. God's thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways, and it might not look the way you thought it would look, but I'm promising you that you're in the middle of being about to give birth to something that the earth had never seen. They'd never seen the Savior. Those that had prophesied and knew he was coming, but nobody had ever seen him. Nobody ever saw a pregnant virgin. Nobody had ever seen the circumstances lay out. They had never seen how complicated could get until you walk into the middle of a prophetic word, because that word has got to come forward. That word has got to accomplish. And so it's got to move back those circumstances. That word is clearing the way for the birth of something that's going to come through you that the earth has never seen. There's a game-changing invention. There's some game-changing technology. I'm talking to kingdom people. I'm talking to kingdom people. There's some game-changing research. And there's some game-changing financial strategies. And there's some game-changing political moves and some game-changing legislation that is about to be birthed, because there are kingdom people sitting right in the middle of their prophetic destiny. That is what we were sharing with you. And so we move from there. We move from that exuberant, enthusiastic, mind-shaking, encouraging, inspiring, understanding that all of this in my life had happened so that I could get to the first chapter of Matthew and be found pregnant with that thing that's going to change the game. Hallelujah. And so that is what we were sharing. And so we were sitting in meditation of that all through the month of February. I just want to tell you, I've been just sitting in the meditation of it, saying, God, you promised. You promised me a Joseph. You might be Brother Mary, but I promise you God's going to send a Joseph. They're going to know what the angel has said. They're going to know when to move you into Egyptian exile, because they're going to know that Herod's trying to kill your baby. They're going to know when to move you back to Nazareth, because the prophecy said that the Savior would be a Nazarene. They're going to know. They're going to know. Listen, you can trust to Joseph. Brother Mary, you can trust even listening to angels. Sister Mary, you can trust him. Just like Mary might be male or female. Your Joseph, that perfect one, that promised one, might be male or female, but you're going to know them because they're going to call your baby Jesus. Oh, my God. They're going to know what's going on inside of you. They're going to know what to call it. They're going to know when to listen. They're going to put their ear back to the mouth of God and say, when should we move and where should we go and where in Egypt do we live? And Mary, we've got to sit here and wait until I know it's safe to go back into Israel, because the Savior is going to be a Nazarene. I know that we're going to get back to Nazareth, but just wait here until I hear from the angel. You're going to know Joseph, because he's going to have heard from God concerning what's on the inside of you. That's from my heart. He's about you. He's going to hear from God about what's on the inside of you. And he's going to be ready to partner with you to bring it forward. And so that is what we were sharing. And so as we move through chapter 2 and we understand that the plan of Herod against Mary and Jesus did not work, and then we move on to chapter 3 when John the Baptist comes on the scene and says, I'm telling you, the game is about to change. You need to get your heart ready, repent. You can come and let me baptize you, but I'm telling you, This is just a demonstrative baptism, because when the game is changed, you're going to be baptized with fire. You're going to be changed from the inside out. And there is going to be an illumination on your life, a power, a dunamis, that I'm not even worthy to latch the shoes of what's going to come. But my assignment is one to let you know he's coming. And so we're moving through the third chapter of Matthew, and then there are the verses at the end of the third chapter of Matthew when Jesus tells John the Baptist to baptize him. And John says, "Where are you? Are you kidding me? I need you to baptize me, but that the prophecy might be filled." He said, "Suffer it to be so. Baptize me." And we are now in the third chapter of Matthew. Stay with us, people of God. He said, but Jesus replied, "Permit it just now, for this is the fitting way for both of us to fulfill all righteousness that he permitted us." That's Matthew chapter 3, verse 15. Verse 17 says, "And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my son, my beloved, in whom I delight." Some verses say, "In whom I am well pleased." Some say, "In whom I am pleased and delighted." And this is him. Hallelujah. And so I ask you to turn with me to the fourth chapter of Matthew, because we just want to look a little further as to how we should continue to deal with this season of promise and prophecy. Because we want to look at how should we continue to deal with this season of promise and prophecy. And this chapter is when Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And this, in some arenas, can be considered what I have heard said, a familiar passage of Scripture. I'm not sure that I'm so crazy about that, but that's what I've heard it said. I know that I've heard many ministries, many exhortations, many sermons, many dissertations, many exegeses about the chapter, but I would hate to think I'm familiar with it, but that's a different day. But this could be that verse. This is where Jesus was led into the wilderness to be tempted. He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And so if we had time, we would go through every verse. But just let's look at this one thing. The temptations that Jesus said he was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted, tested, and tried by the devil. Led by the Holy Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And so what I have noticed is that, myself included, what I've noticed is that the people of God that love God with their whole heart are often being tempted, and they often find themselves being tried by devils, but they weren't led by the Holy Spirit. My Bible says you can be led by your own lust. I just wanted to take a parenthetical step away to say we should not be so deluded to think that every temptation by the devil is spirit-led. And see, then God didn't allow you to do anything. Your flesh suggested it, you agreed, and now you're in the middle of a messy mess. Go ahead and call it what it is so you can go ahead and conquer. He said, because if you get a hold of the truth will make you free. But if you're deluded to think that the Holy Spirit had engineered that foolishness, that the Holy Spirit engineered it, that he set it on a GPS for you, then you are also deceived. Don't you know that your lust can lead you into places that God never intended you to be? And if you're not discerning, and if our hearts get contaminated, we'll say that we're in the fourth chapter of Matthew, and we're somewhere playing with darkness. So the Bible says, then Jesus Jesus was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And then he went without food for 40 days and 40 nights, and later was hungry. And the tempter came and said, if you are God's son, verse 3. And then he replied. And then the devil said, verse 6, and if you are the son of God, and then verse 7, and then he replied. And verse 9, and then he said, he took him up to a very high mountain, and he said, I'll give you all of this if you just bow down and worship me. One thing out of the many things that became obvious to me was that at the end of chapter 3, stay with me, he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then the temptations of the adversary start with, if you are the son. The temptations came with not with a shroud of obscurity, not with uncertainty and questions. He came exactly after the words that God spoke over Jesus in chapter 3. He said, this is my beloved son, and every single temptation says, if you are the son. Because what the temptation that the Holy Spirit will lead you into will do, will come to see your confidence in what God has said about you. Because in order to bring this thing forth, you've got to know what God said, but you've got to be versed and prepared enough to declare what's already written. My God in heaven, you've got to be built up in your inward man because of what God said. Because don't you know the rhema word will be spoken in your ear? The word of prophecy will go forward. God will come and speak something to you in a night season, in the middle of a trial, in the middle of a circumstance, and tell you that you're in the middle of your prophetic destiny and how pleased he is with your labor and your faith. But when you get in that temptation and the tempter comes right after that very thing that was spoken, you did not see Jesus say it was spoken. He referenced him back to what was written. God in heaven, we've got to know what God is saying. Don't you know that you can't compare one to the other? God will speak a word. God will speak a word of life to you that will change your whole world. It'll turn the world upside down. It is God's spoken word that he releases in the earth. He said it, and it was so. But when we're being tempted, listen to what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. When you are being placed in a place of trying, you've got to have the fortitude of what God has said and be strong enough to point the adversary to what God has already written. Because in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And see, when I'm being tried, I've got to be fortified by what God has said. I bring my confidence and assurance by what God has said concerning me. But I take the sword of the Spirit and annihilate my enemies. I point you back to what God has written. He said, but that was already written. You trying to get me to doubt. You're trying to get me to waver because it descended upon me and God said it. But what my foundation is what God wrote about me before I even got here. What God had the prophets inspired Isaiah to be penned on parchment and passed down for thousands of generations. That's what I pull out as a sword and decapitate my enemies with, because I'm fortified with what God has said about me. He said, I'm his beloved daughter. He's well pleased with me. He said, I'm in the middle of my prophetic destiny, and I'm about to give birth to something that the world has never seen. But when the Holy
myself and everything that would seek to make me doubt God back to what was written. For God is going to hold himself to his word. He said he'll hasten to perform it. His word is living and enduring. When everything else passes away, his word will still be standing. When I'm being tested and being tried, I'm going to point you back to what was written. He said, yeah, that sounds real good. And you might think that I'm going to try to point you back to what he said, but I'm going to point you back to what he wrote. He wrote this about me hundreds of years ago. He wrote this about me, and he made Isaiah say it. He wrote this about me, and the prophets were declaring it. He spoke it to me to encourage me and to edify, to build me up. That's what the prophetic does. Oh, the Spirit of the Lord is sharing tonight. The prophets are in the earth to edify, to build, to encourage, to exhort. But when you get in a temptation, you better get back to the written word. The word that was written, he pulled out the sword of the Spirit, and he began to annihilate the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. He said, look out on these hills. I'll give you all this. The Bible says he showed him all of it because he was hoping he could trip him up with the lust of the eye. And then he told him, he said, I know you're hungry. Why don't you turn these stones to bread? Because he was hoping he could trip him up with the lust of the flesh. And then he told him, he said, well, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. Surely if you're so touchy much, he'll send the angels to rescue you. Because he was hoping he could trip him up with the pride of life. But in that very moment, even though Jesus had just gotten the affirmation of the word of the Lord at the end of chapter 3, when he came into his place of testing, trying, battling, when doubt would be presented to him, when the enemy's subtleties came to knock him off his square, he said, no, no, no. That thing about me has already been written. I do have the power to turn stones to bread, but I just don't have anything to fight. I'm already prepared for this battle because I know what was written. The prophetic word came to encourage and to build me up, to edify and strengthen me. But it is the sword of the Spirit that I release in my seasons of testing and trying. Why am I saying that? Because, Brother Mary, because, Sister Mary, that's how we've got to do it in 2018. We've got to be prepared with the written word. We've got to be able to be skillful sword slingers. We've got to be able to pull out the sword of the Spirit and annihilate those things that will tell us to doubt, that would tell us to satisfy our needs with our own strength, that would try to get us to doubt our sonship. God's not going to take care of it. You go ahead. You work the deal. You sign the contract. You don't use integrity for those numbers. No, 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 no. This was already written. This was already written. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of a life, all of them come tumbling down once you are prepared with the sword of the Spirit. Even Jesus used it. He didn't refer back to the prophecies. He didn't refer back to the voice of the Lord that boomed out of heaven and declared him to be a dear son. He took those temptations right back to what was written. Praise the name of Jesus. And there will be seasons of testing. There are no conquests without combat. There are no conquests without combat. There will be seasons of testing. The prophetic word was released last month to build, to encourage, to edify, and to strengthen. But let me tell you, when the Spirit of the Lord leads you into the wilderness to be tested and tried, be ready with your sword. Pull it right out and say, I don't have to do anything, and I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to show you anything, and I don't have to say anything, but but what was already written. I'm ready to proclaim. I'm ready to proclaim the word that was written concerning me by the prophet, because all of this being done is being done that it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophets concerning me. You think I'm not skilled? You think I'm not ready? I'm not using my prophetic word as a foundation. I'm using it the way the Bible said. It came to encourage and to edify and to strengthen. I'm strong in the Lord and the power of his might. But when the lust of the eye and when the lust of the flesh and when the pride of life step into my circle, into my 2018 arena, into my prophetic destiny space, I'm going to pull out the sword of the Spirit and say, no, 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 it was already written. Hallelujah. He said in verse 4, it has been written. He said, it has been written, man shall not live and be upheld and sustained by bread alone, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. I know you think that that doesn't match, but he did not refer him to what was spoken. He referred to him, the temptation to what was written about what God has spoken concerning me. People of God, let me tell you something. You better get out this word and start fighting with it. You are in the middle of your prophetic destiny, but when the tests and trials come, you need to pull out the sword of the Spirit. When the tests and trials come, you need to look at verse 6. He said, for it is written, for it is written. Hallelujah, glory to God. He said, it is also written, you shall not tempt or test thoroughly, verse 7, or try exceedingly the Lord your God. Every time he looked in the face of lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, he replied back to Satan. He said in verse 10, be gone, because it has been written. Why do I keep referencing the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life? Because John said that's all that's in the world. There's only three things that he can use. I know that we like to say that there are so many, and some are big and some are little, but John said it's just three: lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. This is the only way he can trip you up. And then because God, the Holy Spirit in his wisdom, always puts us ahead, he had taken us to the fourth chapter of Matthew to show us how to circumvent the temptations of the adversary. Use what is written. Pull out the sword of the Spirit. Study to show yourself approved, a workman that needs not be ashamed, and rightly divide the word of truth. Pull out the sword of the Spirit so that you, through the year 2018, your prophetic destiny is not derailed. Your prophetic destiny is not hindered. How can I support that in scripture? Because by the end of chapter 4, Jesus was in full-blown ministry. He was in synagogues teaching. By the time he got to chapter 5, he was growing crowds. I'm telling you, the key is in chapter 4. We've got to be prepared to defeat lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life with what was written. Pull out the sword of the Spirit. Protect that is your prophetic destiny, because there is no conquest without combat. There will be a testing and a trying, but let me tell you, faith has already overcome the world. We not only conquer, we more than conquer. The gospel is nothing but good news. Knowing that there will be a battle is good news when you've already got the strategy to win. God has given us a win strategy tonight. Let's use it. Let's apply it. Let's take it into our hearts and receive it. We're well prepared for the battle. There's only lust of the flesh, lust of the eye, and the pride of life. That's all that he could use to come after you. You're sitting in the middle of your prophetic destiny. Be strengthened and encouraged and edified by the prophetic word that has been spoken. But when the enemy comes, yield your sword of the Spirit. Annihilate him. That ministry, that game-changing research, that financial strategy will go forward unhindered in the name of Jesus. We're always ahead. We're never behind. We're above only. We're never beneath. We're the head. We're never the tail. This is the winning strategy. There is no conquest without combat. The Holy Spirit led him to be tested and tried. Go ahead and pass that test. Put out the sword of the Spirit and yield it with skill. Look for what God has written. Look for those words that are written that you will use to defeat those temptations. And I guarantee you that baby will come forth in 2018. Be encouraged, be edified, be strengthened in your inner man. For surely, people of God, those with the Spirit of the Lord are speaking. You are in the middle of your prophetic destiny. You are a son and daughter of God, and He is well pleased. In your season of testing, you will conquer. You will triumph, and the ministry, and the ministry, and the ministry will go forward unhindered. In the name of Jesus, we've got our strategy. We've got our battle plans. We are not those that are trembling, weak, and afraid. We step boldly into our edified strong places. We point our temptations. We point our reasons. We point any anxiety or worry right back to what God has written concerning us. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. He says that it's already been written. I don't have to do any of that. I don't have anything to prove because this was already written concerning me. Oh, my God, we thank you right now. Because before I entered my mother's womb, this was already written. He said it's already been written. Hallelujah. Praise the name of Jesus. I don't have to prove it. I don't have to forfeit my dependence on God's written word. He's faithful and he's true. He is not just my provider, he's provision. God's everything he said he is, and I won't back up from it. I won't let doubt enter because of what has already been written concerning me. We just thank you, God, that your word that's been written concerning us, God, is a conquering word. It is a word that will defeat every test, every trial, and every temptation. We thank you, Father, that your word concerning us has been written, and your word is accomplishing. We thank you right now, God, that we have our strategic battle plan, that we'll study to show ourselves approved. We'll rightly divide the word. We won't have need to be ashamed. And when we are face to face with our tempters, we'll point every temptation to doubt and fear, every temptation to do it on our own, every temptation to make our own way, we'll point it back to what's already been written, that God's already finished the work. My only labor is to rest. My only labor is to rest. I don't have anything to prove. It was God that said this concerning me, because he had already written it, and it's already been established. Praise the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord, and we thank you, God. We hear, God, and receive our battle plan. God, for every temptation that is before us in this season of birthing promise, We commit to you that we will study, that we will point our temptations back to what you have written concerning us. We have been edified, we've been built up, and we've been strengthened by your prophetic word. What you have spoken concerning us, God has built us up in our sonship. It has encouraged us in our relationship. And for every temptation that we face this year, we'll point it right back to what you've already written. We thank you right now, God, that we lay down every agenda, everything in our hearts that might lead us astray. We lay it before what you've already written. Lust of the eye, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life will not be named among us. For God, we know what has already been written. And we thank you, Father. We thank you, Lord, that it's already been written. Hallelujah. We will yield the sword of the Spirit to defeat every tempter. We will yield the sword of the Spirit that we will not only conquer, but that we will more than conquer, that the promise of the Lord will come forward in the name of Jesus. Oh, Father, how we thank you. Oh, Father, how we appreciate you. We glorify you in this moment. Thank you right now for strategies that prevail, for strategies that prevail in the name of Jesus, for the word that you will hasten to perform, for that you have finished concerning us. We thank you for it now. We give you glory for it now. We give you honor for it now in your Son Jesus' mighty name. Woman of God, it's back to you.
Amen, amen, amen. I thank you. I thank you for the word on tonight. Dr. White, you have really blessed the ministry on tonight and its listeners and myself. I thank you for all that was said. Apostle-elect, I'm going to ask you, are the lines open for anyone to make a comment on tonight about Dr. White to let her know how she blessed them on tonight?
Lines are open.
Okay. Thank you, Apostle. Like, the lines are open. If anyone have any encouraging words or remarks they would like to share with Dr. Wright, go ahead.
Dr. Wright, this is Cecilia. Thank you so very much for the word that God spoke through you on tonight, encouraging us to keep our focus on our God-given destiny and our God-given purpose that he's given us, and that we have to go back to the word of God, and that when God has already spoken something to us, not to be shocked or even caught off guard when the enemy comes our way to try to challenge the word that God has already written and spoken about us. Thank you. That was such a rhema word and so powerful.
Yes. Amen. Apostle-elect, for those encouraging words. Anyone else, please? Would like to say something to Dr. Wright.
Good evening, good evening. This is Sheila. I just want to say thank you, Minister Kaiser, Prophetess-elect Cecilia Kaiser, and Dr. Serena Wright. I thank you for that powerful word. It's to understand and to let us know that the word is the word, and that's the only word. And so thank you, and I want to thank you and thank you.
Thank you, Minister Sheila, for those words of encouragement. Is there anyone else who would like to speak to Dr. Serena Wright on tonight? I would like to thank everybody again for tuning in. I would like to thank Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser for making it possible for us to have this platform to bring different men and women of God to you with the word of God from their heart to let you know what God is willing, able and ready to do for his people. I would like to say thank you again. Thank you. Thank you for being such faithful listeners on our Monday night program. I would like to thank you also for when you call in on Friday to listen to our very own Elder Kathy Kendall at 9 p.m. Central Standard Time, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with God Still Heals. Thank you for calling in on Sunday mornings at 8:30 a.m. listening to Apostle-elect Cecilia Kaiser, Minister Sheila Kaiser, and Minister Brandon Kaiser with Let's Talk. Thank you also for tuning in on Facebook for Apostle Sandra Thomas, which is coming to you on Sunday mornings alone. So far, she's been on there with Dr. Serena Wright. I'm not mistaken, Dr. Wright, isn't that 8 a.m. on Facebook with Dr. I mean, with Pastor?
8:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Yes, ma'am. 8:30 on Sunday.
Yes, for Apostle Sandra Thomas, under Sandra Thomas on Facebook. So we would like to thank you all again for taking that time out on any or all of those days to listen to the Word of God. We would like to say, don't forget our foundational scripture, which is Matthew 6:33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and all his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. And we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. But before we go, Dr. Wright, do you have any, as you say, shameless plugs that you would like to put out there?
Woman of God, thank you so much. No, we don't have any of those. We do want to encourage the people of God to tune in, like you mentioned, under Sandra Thomas on Facebook on Sunday, 8:30 a.m. Central Time, because the apostolic voices in the earth are just that. And we want to honor those voices that God has given us. And so it is just an honor to sit at the feet of the apostolic ministry and receive from her. So I do thank you for that, and I concur that that those that tune in will be blessed. But that is all that we have for tonight.
Okay, thank you so much. And we would love to hear from you all for at the rest of the week at the times that we have told you about. And next Monday we will have another speaker ready to bring forth the Word of God. So until then, we love you with the love of the Lord, and there's nothing you can do about it. So be blessed, people of God. Good night.